This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Friday, last Football Friday of the regular season. We are 17 weeks down, one more to go in the NFL regular season calendar. And I'm so excited. Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Fan Only Morning Show. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation, or you could tweet at me at Austin R. Bechtold. So, Steelers and Ravens, tomorrow, it'll begin all Week 18 games with the Steelers in a standalone game, followed by Houston and Indianapolis in Indy, win and you're in type of game. Other games that you got to keep your eye out for: the Jacksonville Jaguars are at the Tennessee Titans, and the Buffalo Bills are at the Miami Dolphins. Jacksonville, Tennessee at one. Buffalo and Miami for the division, and for the number two seed, that game is at night, that you can hear, right here on Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30, or on NBC. The Steelers have put themselves in this position. They could, with a win and be in, if they would have taken care of business against Arizona and or New England. But obviously hindsight is 20/20. It is a constant theme that this team takes it down all the way to the end. And the fortune has, at times, been on the Steelers' side, or if you remember Ryan Succub, it hasn't. And that Ryan Succub kick that ended up keeping the Steelers out of the playoffs years ago was one indication of why you just, in the Chargers game, you just cannot keep things in the hands of others. You want to control your own destiny, but that's the situation that the Steelers are in right now, where the Raiders-Chargers game, and it's weird that the Chargers always find a way to factor into this. Or if you remember the Jacksonville game that helped the Steelers get into the playoffs a couple of years ago, it goes Jacksonville-Indianapolis, right? And a very young Jacksonville team won it. Steelers got in. A crying Ben Roethlisberger on the field against the Browns and then against Baltimore, or just all of the above to close out that season. And the Steelers clinched. The Steelers got in. They're going to need something similar this year. And I don't think they're going to get it from the Buffalo Bills. I just don't. The scenarios are not really complex. There's five different things that could happen. But in short, there's really only two that will likely happen, right? First of all, the Steelers need to win. Nothing happens unless the Steelers win. Sure, they can lose and get some help. If they lose, Jacksonville loses, Denver wins, and Houston and Indy don't tie. And if you remember, the Raiders and Chargers, who legitimately went down to the final second, anything can happen. But let's just assume for the fact of the matter, and you know what you do when you assume, but they're not going to tie. If the Steelers win and Jacksonville loses or ties, they're in. If the Steelers win or Houston and Indy ties, they're in, but let's just scratch that one out. Buffalo loses, Steelers win. Or the weird one that the Steelers tie, Jacksonville loses, Houston and Indy don't tie. Well, I don't think the Steelers are going to tie. You don't think the Steelers are going to tie. We don't think Houston and Indy are going to tie. So there goes two of those situations. I don't think the Steelers are going to lose, but if so, they need a Jacksonville loss, a Denver win, and Houston and Indy do not tie. Denver plays the Raiders. Jacksonville plays at Tennessee. I just do not see Buffalo losing in Miami. I don't. It could happen. I won't rule it out. Especially after Miami was stomped by Baltimore last week. They really just want to get their image back. And they're at home. They're a team that plays a lot better in Miami, especially in December, in January, than in Baltimore on a cold day, or in Pittsburgh, in Cincinnati, in New England, in Cleveland. They're just a different team in Miami, where their track speed can play in warmer weather. And when the temperature difference on the sideline, because of how Hard Rock Stadium is built, is 10, 15 degrees different on the opposing sideline than the Miami sideline. It can be a different place to play. Weather can be a factor, where it can be in the Northeast or the Northwest. It can be in the Southeast with Miami and the heat compared to New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore with the snow. Buffalo's on fire. Now, if you look at their last couple of games, it wouldn't look so, but they're on a winning streak, four games. They barely beat New England, and they had trouble with Easton Stick in L.A. So yeah, they're not necessarily gangbusters right now and dominating everybody, but Buffalo, to me, just looks like a team that's on the rise and is kind of peaking at the right time. James Cook has come on. Pro Bowl selection. Stephon Diggs is going to figure it out. So if you're the Steelers, first of all, obviously you got to win. And there are a lot of guys that are not going to be playing for the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Steelers will win. Partly because Lamar Jackson is not going to play and he's going to win his second MVP. It might be unanimous. Christian McCaffrey should probably get a couple of votes. But Lamar Jackson, who I've been very tough on, I've been hard on, I still don't think he's the best passer, but he has gotten better. And I think you'd be a fool not to admit that. Lamar is just a guy that loves to run around. At least that's what he was for years. They got him Zay Flowers from Boston College. Great draft pick. Odell Beckham. Rashard Bateman is playing a lot better. Isaiah Likely. Stud. Second year guy who was selected right around the time as Calvin Austin with the Steelers. Likely has been fantastic. He was an internet meme for people saying all kind of different things with his last name being Likely and his name being 80. He might likely have 80 catches at some point. Probably not as a tight end, but close to it. If they didn't have Mark Andrews. They have not missed Mark Andrews as much as the Ravens really should, because he's the best receiver on their team, regardless of who else they have, and especially coming into the season. So Kevin Zeitler is out. It was limited in practice. He's not going to play. Pretty good player at guard. Daryl Worley is out at defensive back with a shoulder and ankle injury. He's not going to play. Odell Beckham is out. They're going to rest him. Just sit him out. Zay Flowers is doubtful with a calf injury. Ronald Darby is questionable. Kyle Hamilton was limited in practice. He's questionable. He's not going to play with a knee injury. Malik Harrison, the linebacker, is not going to play. Marlon Humphrey, calf injury, he's out. He seemingly never plays against the Steelers. And when he does, the Steelers shred him. Arthur Mollett is questionable. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. Other guys have been questionable as well, including Brandon Stevens, the corner. And there's a good chance that you might not see guys like Tylan Wallace at wide receiver, but how much does he really factor in for them? Where the Steelers are the complete opposite. Minkah Fitzpatrick has been practicing this week. He's probably going to play. So you're looking at Minkah Fitzpatrick and Patrick Peterson, who since he's moved to safety, and it's been a relatively small sample size, has been pretty good. He has done a nice job at safety. He has stabilized a position that has been wonky and all sorts of nothing for the Steelers. When Minkah was hurt, Trenton Thompson was hurt. Who would have thought the Steelers would be relying on Trenton Thompson at safety to play a valuable role? Miles Kilbrew made the Pro Bowl, two block punts on special teams. T.J. Watt as well. Minka Fitzpatrick made the Pro Bowl, which is maybe more of a legacy thing for Minka. Did Minka really deserve to make the Pro Bowl? No. Chris Boswell should have got it over Minka, but of course, it's position things and who is the best in your certain position, and Minka is undoubtedly a top three safety in the NFL and definitely in the AFC, and Kyle Hamilton is maybe better than him at this point, and he also made the Pro Bowl, but I digress. Landon Roberts is going to play. The Steelers are getting healthy. Kenny Pickett will be the backup. We can talk about that situation if we want, but did Kenny Pickett really want to be the backup? Did he not? There's so many reports. Some that are saying, yes, he did not want to be Mason's backup. Some that are saying, no. And we're really just made to speculate on that. But he's going to be the backup. So Mason Rudolph struggles, or if he gets hurt, Kenny can come in. In Baltimore without Lamar Jackson. It's Mason Rudolph against Tyler Huntley. If anybody would have said this weeks ago, they would have laughed at you straight in the face and thought you were crazy. But it is with a chance for the Steelers to go to the playoffs. Baltimore has nothing to play for. But you know who does have something to play for? Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. Why? Now, rumors are spreading that Vrabel might not be back as Titans coach. Ryan Tannehill might get the start. Probably his last start ever as a Titan. Will Levis is probably going to be the future guy for the Titans, at least next year. They're going to give him a shot, especially with how bad the Malik Willis pick looks. Man. This is an organization that has DeAndre Hopkins. Will they have him next year? Derrick Henry, will he be back? There's a lot of Titans that might not be back that could usher in a new era of Tennessee football. And Mike Vrabel, he hates to lose. He was asked, what's the incentive to win this week?
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Poor Gentry.
Why? Well,
it sucks.
Is that
losing? Awful. That's why I want to win. Because you don't sleep. You want to win for the players that bust their tail. That's it.
Mike Vrabel really comes off to me as one of those guys that is staring at his computer or staring at his TV, trying to figure out what the problem is at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he just can't figure it out. His eye is twitching. He's so upset. He tries to go to sleep, but it haunts him at night. He can't figure out what the issue is. This is a team in Tennessee that's used to winning. Now, they're not used to winning like multiple playoff games. They've made it to the AFC Championship. But they're not used to losing like this and being a horrid team. Tennessee's been awful this year. It's been one of the worst. It's definitely the worst Titans team under Mike Vrabel, right? They're not playing well whatsoever. Tennessee is 3.5-point dogs at home. They're 5-11 overall. They've lost 3 in a row. They're not good. They got crushed in Houston 26-6. They've lost to the Texans 2 of the last 3 weeks. They also lost at home to Seattle 20-17 in a winnable game. They lost to the Colts 31-28. They did beat the Dolphins 28-27 on Monday Night Football. They beat Carolina. They beat Atlanta. They beat the Bengals. They beat the Chargers. Congrats. If there is a team that the Steelers need to bank on this week, it's the Tennessee Titans. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, is he going to play? I would imagine yes. Shoulder problem. Did not play last week. First time he's never played in an NFL game. They were fine against Carolina. Will they be fine against what seems like a very motivated Tennessee team on the road? They handled Jacksonville on the road. It was easy. The Steelers should just not even be in this position. Mike Tomlin needs to be ridiculed at the end of the year for the fact that they are in this position where he's getting love right now, and rightfully so, he should, that they are in position to make the playoffs again, but they need help. And they've relied on Mason Rudolph to guide the sleigh, who has looked better than Kenny Pickett in 24 games, Mason in 2, where people are calling in, trying to defend Kenny, and really don't have too much of an argument, and not being able to claim to finish their argument. And it's Kenny Pickett is indefensible at this point. If you want to compare Mason's 2 games without Matt Canada to Kenny's 2 games, 1.5, after being injured against Arizona. without Matt Canada. It's just indefensible. I don't know how you can look at the two, compare the two. Mason Rudolph, 400-yard performance, two games with over 30 points or more. I just don't know how you can do it. I don't. So I think the Steelers will win. 24-20, the score, maybe 24-21. They will get it done. Mike Tomlin will have 10 wins on the season. I thought they'd go 11-6. Now, I also factored in that they would win both of those games where they were 2-10, 2-10 teams, at home, where they should have won. Let's go to the phones. Football Friday. What's up? You're on the Fan. Go ahead. And the call dropped. I'll take your calls. 412-928-9370. What do you think of the Steelers? Do you think they'll win? Do you think they'll get the necessary help that they need from either the Buffalo Bills, who, if the Bills win, can get the number two seed? There is also a way that the Steelers can get the number six seed. Now, they need Buffalo to lose. They need another couple of things to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that that does. Will it? Probably not. I think a Jacksonville loss and a Buffalo loss. 412-928-9370. If you want to chime in on the conversation, I'm all ears. What you have to say. We'll also talk a little bit about the Pirates and also some college football takes that I have after watching the last couple of bowl games and also going into the national championship. Sports Radio, 937 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes, let's have a good day. Great song on this early Friday morning. I'm Austin Bechtel with you on a Football Friday. Penguins actually kind of stole some headlines last night in Boston. You know, you never really know what you're going to get from the Penguins, especially after the game against Washington at home. Give up the first four goals, Tristan Jarry. Man, his inconsistency for me is just stressful to watch, kind of painful to watch. And then Alex Nedeljkovic wasn't too great either. It was a 5-5 game at one point after Boston tied it up third period. But the Pens did get it done, 6-5 in Boston. Almost blew, you know, one of the greatest leads in hockey, right? The 3-goal lead. Able to find a way, though. That's two very important points. On the road, hostile environment, fellow Eastern Conference team, not a Metro team. But to be able to win it 6-5, man. Penn scored four goals in the first period after Brad Marchand scored 41 seconds in. Drew O'Connor. Ryan Graves scored. Ryan Graves. Assisted by Sidney Crosby, Ricard Raquel. And then Gensel, Lars Eller, Jeff Carter scored in the second period for three unanswered Boston goals. And then Sidney Crosby on the power play won it for the Pens. Okay, Baltimore, Ravens, and the Steelers, 4:30 on Saturday. What do you think? 412-928-9370. Will the Steelers win? Will the Steelers get the necessary help that they need from either Buffalo or the Jacksonville Jaguars to lose? Kenny McCandless, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too, Austin. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to go back on the Kenny Pickett thing I know it's been beat to death, but I had a little different perspective on it than I've heard anybody saying. I just wanted to give that to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
See what you think. Going back to Tomlin's press conferences before the Cincinnati game and then before the Seattle game, he at the beginning of the week, he made it clear that he said Mason's getting the ball, but you know Kenny's going to practice and we'll see where we're at. And to me, that more implied that if Kenny was healthy, Kenny would start. But before Cincinnati, he was nowhere close to being able to play. Before Seattle, he probably was getting closer. So I think they're telling the truth there, that and Kenny, in his mind, was he would have started if Tomlin thought he was healthy and ready to play. So then Mason plays lights out for two games. So that kind of changed things a little bit. Because Kenny hasn't been lighting the world on fire ever.
Yeah, Ken, I don't dispute anything that happened leading up to Cincinnati, because I think the injury was definitely a factor in that one. Seattle maybe a little bit more so because of the approach that Tomlin had right off of his press conference of the week and pretty much making it an indication, not coming out flat out saying that Mason would be the starter, but that's at least the way that it sounded. And for Pickett to say if he was healthy that he was going to start, there seems like there was just a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah, I think, so what I wanted to get at was, I think the disconnect there is when Tomlin was questioned after Seattle, I guess that was last Monday, and the question about was Kenny healthy? And his answer was was he medically cleared? His answer was yes, he was medically cleared. Now, there's a difference between being medically cleared and being ready to play in an NFL game after you had surgery and you're out 4 weeks. So I think in Tomlin's mind, yeah, the doctor said, yeah, he can play. But Tomlin's thinking like, hey, he isn't playing that great. Mason's playing great. And Kenny's coming off surgery. I'm not going to risk what is possibly my franchise quarterback. Not at this time, but he could be. I'm not going to risk his health. Maybe he could injure himself easier because he hasn't been preparing. And I think that's kind of how it went down. And then Kenny wasn't happy. I'm sure of that. I believe that. But I don't for a minute believe that he refused to be a backup or even a third quarterback. And that's why I understand why Kenny was upset, because his integrity was questioned. And I don't think you should question somebody's integrity based on speculation or hearsay.
Ken,
I think Bally started that whole thing, and I don't think he was right in doing that.
Ken, I appreciate it. And I think a big thing for the Steelers is in a part of this that maybe has gone maybe a little bit under the radar. You got to protect your assets. And I think that's one thing that the Steelers still view Kenny Pickett as their franchise guy. Now, maybe that is changing a little bit. It's possible because of the success that they see Mason Rudolph having right now. Does that make the Steelers think, oh, well, how good is Kenny Pickett? I don't think that's the case right now. I really don't. And they want to make sure that they do not do anything that'll be detrimental for Kenny Pickett's career moving forward. Now, I do think it's something. Kenny Pickett got surgery, and the understanding for all of us and what was basically said for Pickett is you have this surgery, you're going to come back probably for Seattle, definitely for Baltimore. He'll be back. Now, he has this, or he could just let it heal, rest, relax, stay off of it, and let the ankle heal. Well, he had the surgery. He was ready to come back potentially last week, and he didn't. And a big reason why is because of how Mason Rudolph played. And if Rudolph was terrible, two interceptions, maybe a touchdown, 200 yards passing, like 175 yards passing, maybe not even that, would he have been the starter in Seattle, or would they have tried to push Kenny Pickett? Dave in Newcastle, what's up, Dave?
Thanks for taking my call. So, if you allow me, I have a couple thoughts. If you allow me to get through real quick, but yeah. So I think we're kind of overthinking that too. I mean, I think it is just a simple fact that Mason ended up playing great, and what we're all kind of forgetting is how Tomlin was really on the hot seat before Mason turned this thing around, right? And so actually, my initial call was kind of thinking about Tomlin and how we are forgetting how he's on the hot seat and what happens if Mason plays well and he wins, right? And who knows what's going to happen if the cards are going to fall where we need them to. But if Mason plays well, right, I've been a guy that thinks that his time has run its course here. He seems to be stubborn to change. I think the Canada obviously was a terrible hire, like so bad that it set us back so far that that's like a fireable offense. But as I'm thinking about things, right? Tomlin is a competitor, and he is a competitor, and he is a smart guy. If you remember back to when he was a new coach, and he kind of rode the guys too hard, and they fizzled out at the end, right? And he did show that he will adapt. I'm thinking, right, if Mason plays great, has to eat them. Way of the parity of the league and the way that we could be set up if we held our own destiny and if we get into the playoffs, and I think we could beat any team in the playoff right now, you know, because, you know, we always play Baltimore tight and everybody else is kind of a mess too right now. And I think that if Mason plays well and something happens and we don't get in, I do think that Tomlin, I don't see how he could not sit back and reevaluate how he's things, how he's been stubborn, and maybe he could have kind of that renaissance moment and change himself up. And I think, you know, we would know that by how they handle the OC situation. I think they should cast a wide net. And I think if they bring Tomlin back, they definitely need to kind of, you know, not just hire within and do something that they haven't done and kind of go outside of the organization, really cast a wide net. But I think that'll tell us if they end up keeping him, who knows what happens, that if he's kind of changed his ways and kind of, you know, the speed and come up the times and looked at what has happened and made the change that he's needed to make, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Thanks, Dave. I think that it's just not too possible that they are going to hire some young offensive mind, up-and-coming 32-year-old guy with a pencil in his ear and a big play sheet that just oozes football, because that just has not been the norm. Now, if Tomlin diverts away from the norm, then he is able to adapt. He is able to change. I don't think that's going to happen. But they got to bring in an offensive coordinator that can specifically work with Kenny Pickett. Somebody who can just make things work around here. Mason Rudolph is looking like a viable quarterback. Now, also, this happens for backup quarterbacks. They come in for 3 or 4 games. It can, or they could just flat out play terribly like Mitch Trubisky did. But sometimes they find lightning in a bottle. Just kind of like Jake Browning, Josh Dobbs for a couple games. And then the bottom falls out. And that's it. And you don't really know where to turn next. And if Kenny Pickett can't be the guy for you, Steelers might find themselves in that type of situation, depending on what happens with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. A couple other news and notes. Sidney Crosby is an All-Star for the 10th time. Crosby leads the Penguins in so many different categories. He's 8th in the league with 21 goals, 36 games this season. And Crosby is just, once again, the catalyst for this team. Since December 12th, no team in the league has more wins with 8 and points, 17, than your Pittsburgh Penguins. Also, how about this? John Heyman of our Odyssey Insider, John Heyman, said that the Pirates are currently interested in a couple of different names that are pretty familiar to you. Carlos Santana potentially could bring him back. And also some names on the mid-tier pitching market, including James Paxton. And another name thrown out there, Sean Manaea, that has been thrown out by a couple of different places. FanSided's insider Robert Murray said that the Pirates are interested in outfielder Michael A. Taylor, 21 home runs last year. Also played a lot with the Washington Nationals. Kind of a fourth outfielder kind of type. Also, for the last 2 minutes, I got to get this off my chest with college football. So college football bowl season used to be magical, and I still love it. The playoffs were fantastic. The Rose Bowl, oh, what a classic game. Overtime, Alabama, Michigan. It was an awesome game. It really was. Sugar Bowl, Washington, Texas. You just could not take your eyes off of it. I mean, they were exactly what college football is and what college football should be. And a lot of bowl games were not like that. Florida State, nobody played. And I get the circumstances around that. Ohio State, it was a disaster. Kyle McCord did not play. Marvin Harrison Jr. opted out. Penn State players opted out. Ole Miss players opted out. A lot of bowl games this year, Liberty against Oregon, where Bo Nix played for Oregon, can help to boost his draft stock as well. College football is becoming just like the NFL. NIL is like NFL free agency, and it's getting to be out of hand and absolutely ridiculous. The transfer portal being open before the end of the season is ludicrous. How does it make any sense in college football? How is it good for the brand of college football? How does the NCAA not realize this and see that it is hurting the end result of college football and the biggest bowl games, where the Orange Bowl was unwatchable? The Peach Bowl was a blowout. The Fiesta Bowl was horrible. And a big reason why is opt-out and the transfer portal. And NIL plays a part in that. Now, NIL is a good thing. The transfer portal can be a good thing for certain teams and certain programs as well. And why are coaches allowed to leave and go to a new program before the end of the season? We see this in the NFL, where coordinators will interview with a certain team while they're still coaching a perennial really good team. We might see this with McDonald, the defensive coordinator with the Ravens, or the fantastic offensive coordinator that people are talking about with the Lions, or maybe even Bobby Slowick with Houston, where you get into the playoffs, you will coach with your team, you will take interviews, but you will not be hired until after the season is over with the team you are already coaching. And why is that not a thing in college football? Doesn't that make the most plausible sense? Should coordinators like Manny Diaz be allowed to go to Duke before the end of the season? Why is it a thing where coordinators, even head coaches, leave before the end of the season and leave their team out to dry in bowl play? Shouldn't bowl games mean more? Shouldn't they mean what they've meant for so many years? It's just not plausible to me. A, coaches should not be able to leave until after the season is over. Are those 3 weeks really going to mean something, especially if you don't have the transfer portal open or not let guys enter or anything like that? Ohio State was terrible in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri. It was an awful game. Kyle McCord didn't play, Marvin Harrison. That Ohio State offense looked like a high school JV team. So many things can change if you just make the transfer portal not open until January 15th, January 20th, and not let coaches leave until that point too, and have it all line up at the same time. Whew. The pre-show is next on The Fan. Think the Steelers win? Don't know if they get the help. If they do, gonna need to sing all your favorite Tennessee songs. Tennessee whiskey, Tennessee orange, whatever it is, Tennessee needs to help the Steelers to get in. Austin Bechtold with you. Let's enjoy the football weekend. Also, the Fanoy Morning Show is presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. And also, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 2024 starts with great incentives on Trailblazers, Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado. SunChevy.com. High of 36 today, low of 24. Partly cloudy skies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.